Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to the Books of Excellence radio show, a program for independent authors who are part of our book co-op at www.booksofexcellence.com. The show brings you authors from various genres who discuss their books, their writing process, and their marketing ideas. We also allow other independent authors who are not members of the co-op as time allows. And tonight, we're even going one step beyond that by having a wonderful acting troupe join us. And I know it's not in the usual spectrum of what Books of Excellence does, but, you know, like they say, there's no business like show business. So we decided we're going to air this wonderful program tonight to really entertain our listeners and our members of our co-op. And tonight, as a very special guest, I have my wonderful friend Debbie Bello. Debbie, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Bonnie. Thanks for allowing me to come back on.
Yes, well, it's always a pleasure when we have you here to help host. And the reason that I asked Debbie to come on is because Debbie is in show business and has been for most of her life. She's a singer and a dancer and a comedian. She does theater throughout the Philadelphia, New Jersey area. And I have the distinct honor of being the president of the Debbie Bello Fan Club. And so I was so happy that she was able to join me tonight to do this interview with our guests. And before we even get started, I would like to send regards to Debbie's friend and my friend Susan, who's listening, wishing you get well wishes, Susan. Oh. And I'm so glad you can listen to us tonight. And also to my very special co-host at times, Fred Martin Del Campo, who is really on top of our Books of Excellence shows each week, sending in, you know, great feedback. And he was really excited when he heard also about this troupe coming on from the meeting with our main guest, Howard Nash, who's the producer of these little webisodes, as we call them. And before you get started, Debbie, I just want to mention for a moment how I even got to Howard and how I found out about these webisodes, the meeting, which, by the way, you can find on YouTube if you go to the meeting webisode. And you'll find it right on there. There's two of them that are listed on YouTube. And also, if you go to my, you know, Facebook page, you'll see it listed there. But I was very fortunate to run across Howard through a very dear friend of mine. His name is Craig. And he's someone who's also working with Howard. Correct, Howard?
Yes, but we'll see how the interview goes.
But like I said, no, he's somebody who introduced us together. And through Craig, I was able to meet Howard. Craig also does acting, and he's been a long-term friend of mine for longer than I'll even mention, because that would give away my age. But he did introduce me to Howard and showed me the videos, and I was really impressed with them, so I asked Howard if he would be willing to come on our show and talk about the meeting webisodes, and also to have Debbie come on, because Debbie can look at it differently than I do. I look at it as an audience, and I laugh when I watch it. But Debbie looks at it as an actress, and she has so many extra questions to, you know, ask Howard that I found so interesting. So, Debbie, without further ado, I'm going to give the show over to you. And we're going to have some other guests coming on also who work with Howard in the meeting webisode, you know, episode. So hang in there, and we'll be bringing them on as well. So go right ahead, Deb.
Thanks, Bon. Hi, Howard.
Hi, Debbie.
Listen, I really like these webisodes. I really do. But I know for you to have even thought this idea up, there has to be a story behind this. Am I right? There has to be an interesting story where you sat down with some people and decided one night, one morning, that you were going to do this. So can you share that with us?
Well, the angst that goes behind, you know, with, that accompanies a struggling writer really makes it that the story preceded, you know, our brainstorming and our ideas, because it doesn't need any explanation. You know, the angst that a struggling writer goes through, in our case, a struggling screenwriter, but it's more or less the same, you know, every day in and day out, what it is that you're dealing with. So this idea came to me by an author out in Eau Claire, Wisconsin, who had actually written a screenplay from which we did a tiny little pilot movie, which is now being distributed by Goliath Entertainment out in California. And it really took the angst and everything that, you know, writers and artists, you know, have to deal with, and it kind of stood it on its head in a way where what if, you know, this ideal of trying to make it as a writer, had a story where the characters devolved into mindless nonsense that had nothing to do with learning how to write. And this thing that we, you know, holy grail that, you know, we all hold up, you know, as the need to succeed, you know,
right.
in this business. What if we wrote a story where instead that was shunted aside, you know, after it was clear this is what we are, we're writers. And we just got involved in just some idiotic nonsense that, in a way, made the characters better than you know, than that, than having to struggle to try to please somebody with their writing work. What if they were just trying to get one of the women in the meeting room to go out with them, you know? And
right.
just bring that other stuff. So that's kind of where the idea went and why I was attracted to it in the first place. And we did the pilot a couple of years ago where, you know, Webisodes was not even, you know, on our mind. And then it kind of hit me and, you know, my co-writers that the type of topic that we did in this pilot would lend itself perfectly to an ongoing Webisodes series. Where, you know, in each segment, the writers had to deal with something that was a complete distraction from what they should have been doing, which is, you
right.
know, it, you know, improving their careers. So
exactly.
essentially we came up with it, a comedy web series about a group of writers who get together every week to talk about what they're not doing, you know, and they're losers, but... you know, there's a little glimmer of hope in there because I think the human spirit is such that, I don't know, you can shine the human spirit many different ways. And one of the ways is instead of groping and being desperate about, you know, making your writing successful, you know, it's such a long shot that maybe, you know, you'll just, you know, come in and, you know, pass notes or, you know, try to pick up somebody, you know, who's at the same meeting. So
right.
That's the foundation.
How it started. Okay. So pretty much you have the, you know, group of people that attend this meeting on a weekly basis, and they are trying to figure out how they become the famous scriptwriters. Am I correct?
Correct. Yes.
Okay. So how did you cast for this? Because the people that you have are perfect. The cohesiveness of this group, I was really amazed. The timing is fabulous. So how did you even cast for this? Did you have characters in mind then? Because you didn't give them all names. I find it fascinating that the first webisode, they're not all named. They're just they're the things that they do, the woman who knits, the woman who smells the cork. Nobody has a name yet until the second webisode you start giving them names, which is pretty interesting, where they're able to develop the character more. So where did you find them?
Well, basically, I met them all at meetings, and I tried to pick them up, and I needed some kind of leverage to make it, you know, happen. I'm talking about the female members. No, I'm just...
Right.
I'm just actually, these are people that I have worked with in the past professionally, you know, in the films that I have acted in and that I was also a producer or co-producer. They came from all different quarters. Three or four of the people in that meeting were in the original pilot. And I knew
okay.
I had to have them, you know, for this show. They were just wonderful because they were just such wonderful actors. I knew I had to have them there. And all of them are essentially actors and have acted in something at one, you know, one point or another. Are members of the Screen Actors Guild. And but the beauty of it is, and I think there are not too many other projects that share this, you know, advantage. Is the whole nature of it being a meeting is, you know, people can drop in and drop out if they can't
right.
make the next, you know, episode, just like a class, you know, somebody dropped out. Maybe they'll be back next week. So
right.
There'll never be a shortage of actors who will want to, you know, come on board and make, you know, make themselves look silly.
Right, exactly. But I hope you keep this group, though, for a while, because this is an interesting group. They really fascinate me. I want more at the end of your webisode. And your webisodes are usually around what? Would you say 7.5 to 8.5 minutes?
Yeah, about 7 to 8.5 minutes. And by the way, it's playing on YouTube, and it's called The
yeah.
Meeting Webisode. And we'll be saying that several times. We tried to call it something else, but, you know, Meeting Webisode, as Bonnie pointed out, it hits the nail on the head. It comes right up. And, you know, our big thing now is really, of course, to do more shows. And, you know, develop further, as you pointed out, Debbie, and developing to the point where we even go further in finding our voice. Because
yeah.
we know that it's going to mature, it's going to develop depending on how many, you know, episodes that, you know, that we get to do. And it's a curious thing. I mean, if you watch early episodes of any TV series, like, say, Seinfeld, and if you're a fan of Seinfeld and you see the first two episodes or three episodes, you can see that they haven't found their voice yet. You know, it's just like,
right.
It's funny, hey, it might go somewhere, but compared to where they were 5-6 years later, it's enormous, the development of the
yeah.
characters and the writing, and that's our hope.
But the trick is that you have to give enough that someone's going to want to view the next episode and view the next episode. So you just have to tease enough for people to continue to watch the webisodes.
Yes.
Scripts. Do you follow a script, or is a lot of it improv?
It's mostly scripted. The actors from time to time will improv, and, you know, it's very clear that sometimes, you know, the improv doesn't work, and I would call it more ad-lib than improv. And then at other times, it's golden, and you just have to grab it as something that somebody says, just off the cuff, and you see it and go, hey, that's pretty funny. Keep that in there. That was great, you know?
Right.
And then there are other times, myself included, there's an ad-lib, and it's like falls on its face, but, you know, thank God it isn't live. So,
right, that's with any group, though. But this group seems as if they know each other. You can tell that they know each other. There's a comfortableness with this group that I detect. But there's also, they're each feeling very good about what their character should be projecting or what they should be portraying. So it's
yeah.
a really good group. It is. You did wonderful with the casting.
Well,
go ahead, I'm sorry.
No, they all essentially shared one common thread and one common bond, which is that, you know, during the show, they all were making fun of me, you know, at the podium. And that kind of what brought them together. If they didn't know each other, they found it something that they could all, you know, kind of
right.
stand together. Look at this moron up there, for real. And,
yeah, but you feed off of that, though. You feed off of that
okay.
beautifully.
Oh, yeah, it is. And, you know, and they are all friends, so it
yeah.
really helps the discourse. And, you know, for sure. And Bonnie mentioned that we were introduced, she and I, by Craig Batchelor, and grateful to him, he appeared on one of the shows. And we were introduced by a mutual friend, and we found out we went to the same acting school at different times, but we had the same teachers. And Craig and I, you know, both realized the kind of, you know, similarity in the way we were thinking is that you really should get your own projects going. I mean, it's one thing to try to sell your written work and get out there and bang the pavement,
right.
but something to be said for, you know, making it happen on your own. We both, you know, have that same mindset. So
right.
he worked on one of my films, and, you know, was very impressed with his work. We're probably going to do a lot more together.
Yeah. How long does it take for you to film a webisode?
Each of those two webisodes is done in one full day, which is 2 days. And on the second webisode, which was a savage meeting, we were 1 or 2 hours over, and the poor guys at the studio wanted to, you know, close up, and, you know, we wouldn't let them, and I felt terrible. They wouldn't even take more money. They just wanted us out. But it happens that it goes over.
Yeah.
We try not to let it go for more than one day. And then it's, you know, we could take all the time we want within reason to edit it and score it and do the sound work. But I'd like to get out of there in that one day and just, you know, go to the editing room.
That's wonderful.
So,
and I love how you use music. I really do. To build... It's really interesting. You know, all the senses I use when I watched your webisode. I just felt like I was so engaged with it. I was. I'm like, all right, where's the
yep.
third one? And the other thing, too, on your website, the website lists, you know, the people that are currently in your webisodes. Boy, I would love to know a quick biography on them. You may want to consider adding that because I'm telling you, I'm getting to like these people. I want to know more about what they've done.
Yeah,
so there's a lot more here.
Yeah, that's a very good point. I don't know if it's going to be, you know, it's certainly going to be comical, because what we're going to write in most likely to the next episode is now each person in their own right speaking for, you know, 10 or 20 seconds about what their dreams or whatever it is. Because we've all been to these meetings, we've all been to these, you know, seminars, and one of the best ways the teacher learns how to, you know, kill time and also patronize the audience is to have each student talk about themselves for, you know, 1 minute, and then
right.
go to the next, and go to the next. So that's the opportunity that we see, not necessarily with a serious biography, but to take each character, probably allow them to write the beginning of their own biography, of their own character's biography, and, you know, and see where it goes. And as far as the real, you know, history, IMDb.com, which is Internet Movie Database, has all of those actors on our page for the meeting, and it's really, you know, up to them to make sure that their individual pages, because you can go from, you know, a list of the cast, click on the name, and it's up to them to add to their biography if people, you know, would like to know them better. And
okay, and I don't mean to interrupt you, but we have another member of the cast who is going to be joining us in just a moment, and this is Bob Portler. of the cast. All right, hold on just 1 second. We're going to bring Bob on. Bob, welcome to our show.
Thank you. I'm here with Pamela. Pamela, are you there, Pam?
Yes, I am.
Okay.
Hi, Pamela. Welcome to the show also.
Thank you, Pamela. Hi.
Hi, I'm Debbie.
And yes, I'm Bonnie, and this is Debbie, and Debbie's doing the interview for the moment. So, Debbie, go right ahead and talk to Bob and Pamela.
Hi, Bob and
Pamela. Yeah, we've been listening a little bit. Hi.
Hi, Debbie.
All right, so I had other questions with regard to with the webisode. So from the beginning, you know, when you open up the webisode, why are you in Ohio? Why did you pick Ohio?
Because that was the footage probably Howard could get. I don't know, you have to ask Howard that.
I think you sort of wanted that sense of that middle of nowhere.
Right, okay.
To symbolize these people's lives.
Can I just tell you that opening scene really adds to the next scene and the next scene and the next. The continuity is so good with these webisodes. It really is. But when I see Ohio and you hear the birds chirping in the background, and apparently there's a plane going over as well, because now I'm looking at every little thing for symbolism here, because it seems as if you use a lot of that throughout the webisodes. Am I right?
Yeah, and then the opening scene.
Well, that's because our director Russ, he's actually thinking about everything.
Well, perfect, because he's doing a great job. He really is. Room that you actually film out of, where is the room located? I know it's not in that. And why Peterson? Why is there a reference to Peterson?
Oh, Russ will have to answer that. Hold that question for Russ. There is a meaning behind it. And for sure. Bob and I are the new kids on the block, and Pam is also our co-writer. And we took the original material by Julianne Carlisle, which I'd mentioned previously, the Ohio setting and everything else. And Bob, Pamela, and I got together and now moved forward from the original story and developed what are the two webisodes, which are these writers and, you know, trying to, make it happen.
Right. And I love the facial expressions of these people in the audience. They are hysterical. And I love how the camera captures that. That is perfect, the way it's captured. And I just love how they all work together sitting in those chairs in that room. And where exactly is that room? Where do you work out?
It's in a very hot place.
That's true. But I want to point out that I like Bob's expression the best. His was, our favorite. Bob, you want to add on that? Want to add to that?
Well, I practice it every night.
By the way, just so we know, Bob was the sleeping member of the group.
He's a sleeping member, and he has Post-it notes all over him.
There you go. Yes. You know,
exactly. So. And everybody seems to want to just put one on Bob as they walk in. It's like they've been doing this for years. Just, put the Post-it note on Bob. But
well, I'm a kind of a bulletin bob.
Hold on, right, no, so, I want that in the next script, Bob. I want that in the next script.
A bulletin bob, you got it.
Okay.
Let me make a bulletin of that.
Please do. Bob's going to sleep till the 11th webisode, and then we have a special surprise segment that's going to come out on the 11th webisode. So,
oh, my God, I can't. He's going to wake up?
No, he's going to yawn.
He's going to yawn.
I think I got Pamela. She really actually deserves credit for that. It's actually going to be more of a kind of resonating yell. And then everyone's going to look like, you know, E.F. Hutton. And then Bob
right.
goes back. So this is what it's in development. We're developing.
Excellent. Yeah. All right, so the hallway that you guys always end up with at the end, that's after you have the credits go through. Tell me what the reason for that is. Tell me why you did it that way. So it's at the end of the webisode, the credits come up, and then you're back in with the scene, the last scene. It's usually the guy, Kim.
Yeah.
Right? Okay, so tell
Bob
me why you did it that way.
You know, I think after we did the first one, when we did the second one, we just kind of felt like we liked the way the first one ended, and we felt like if we could make be consistent with certain things, because you seem to really like the consistency of it and the continuity of it. Okay,
right. Yeah, you have
so
to
because
keep it
webisodes
in.
Are so, if webisodes are really short and sweet, you know, like a comic strip, then I guess each block in the comic strip has to be familiar to the reader. So they're
exactly.
looking through the newspaper, and it's nothing more than a webisode, but they follow it, you know. So
yes.
they want to just see the same familiar, you know, characters and cartoon blocks, as it were. And in this case, it's that's one of the scenes that gets to be a familiar place where, you know, I guess Kim is always going to feel like his name is also a girl's name, you know.
Right, that's funny when they, isn't that a girl's name? He goes, yeah, sometimes.
Now, how many different answers can you think of for that question? That's part of the challenge.
Right, exactly. No, but that was really good. I'd like to see his character develop. There's something behind Kim that I'm not quite sure what you guys have planned, but I know it's going to be great, but there's something there about Kim.
I
just
have no
feel
idea,
like
but maybe it should be a sex change, huh, Howard?
Something should be there, though, I'm telling you. Something, and
he could have a girl
name. Already a girl.
Right, yeah. And I think
that's
something.
He's already
that way.
There you go.
Oh, my God. Or how about the woman that keeps knitting? The woman that keeps knitting, what is she knitting? The American flag? Will you ever show us
what
this?
Whenever, I don't know, but when she's done, it has to have three sleeves.
It's going to definitely have three sleeves. I think we're going to plan for the next webisode that you know, everyone talks about their project, and the knitting lady is developing a action film about knitting. It's a knitting action movie, because in her words, after all, you know, no one's ever done a knitting action movie.
And she's going to title it Pearls of Wisdom.
I love
it. Oh my gosh, that's perfect. That cracks me up. And she looks like the moral one in the group. She don't like the porn star. She's sitting there. She'll just knit. She don't even know why she's there. She just looks around and she's just disgusted. And she's in the porn star here.
I want to have an excited dream while the porn star comes back.
Yeah.
Yes. But
you're bringing,
are
you bringing the porn star back?
Yes, we're going to have to, unfortunately. No, I don't say that, unfortunately, but... We've realized that the porn star webisode has approximately 11 times as many views as the first
episode. Yeah, I wonder why.
We couldn't figure it out. We were wrapping our heads around it. But possibly because we do these key words that have people tune in. And for porn star, we wrote porn star. And apparently...
And that was it.
So all we needed.
That was it. Sex sells. Right.
Yeah. In our day and age, though, you would think homelessness would really bring them in. But alas.
Right. Homelessness. Costumes and makeup. Do you have somebody do that professionally for you guys, or are they providing it themselves, the actors?
Well, Angela Savage will comment on that, because she told me early on she was a cosmetologist. And I was very impressed by that, especially when you think about, you know, all the weightlessness in the cosmos, but she insisted on doing her own makeup, and but we did have makeup people on staff who, you know, kept brushing up.
Well,
and
Mr. Eisnoggle looked like that all the time, though.
Yeah.
Oh my
true.
Gosh! Well, he was the guy that collected the tickets, didn't he, in the second episode?
he was. Yes.
Yeah. And why is he called Ice Noggle? Who came up with that name? That's interesting.
Pamela.
What's the story behind Ice Noggle?
Tell her, Pam.
He's the pastor of the Westside Presbyterian Church in
Oh my God, that's so funny.
It's just a great name.
Oh my God!
We always see his name on this on the marquee there.
Marquee church. You know, I was going to Google that too and see they must have gotten this from somewhere because it's an interesting name.
Found art.
Oh my gosh!
But I want to make sure that's funny.
Bob
has a very interesting history also, as well as you pointed out, as does Pam. So I'd like both Pamela and Bob to tell us a little about it, but not at
Please.
The same time.
All right, who's first?
About writing history?
Yeah, and your performance history
I went to Emerson College, and I used to write a little bit for here and there for some major comedians when I was a kid. We did a couple things for Rodney Dangerfield and Johnny Carson, and then my old writing partner had a couple plays produced too, and I've had some poetry published over the years, and I'm trying to get a new book of poetry together now too, and paid the rent writing for, you know, many years, all different kinds of writing, and really just love comedy, stand-up, you know,
yeah.
Poetry.
Yep.
And Pamela, Pam can tell you about herself.
Bob, you're not even halfway through. Keep going. Bob is a puppeteer, a ventriloquist, juggler.
Gosh.
I wasn't moving my lips when I was talking on the phone here, but you know.
That's very good.
Yeah, no, the stories that they're all alluding to that are, you know, sure, I used to have a cat named Dr. Katz, who was trained to circus standards. He would jump through hoops, flaming hoops, and wearing costumes, and that was when I was writing and performing all the puppet shows for Frank Oz with Dream Stuff. I did all the puppet shows at Hershey Park one summer. It's a long time ago, back in the 1976.
Hershey Park, yeah.
Uh-huh. And so I used to do little puppet shows.
That myself, yeah.
Oh, what were you doing?
I was with the magician. I was our magician's assistant for a lot of years.
You were the lovely assistant. See, I got
I was the lovely
to, you know,
assistant.
I was the guy walking around, you know, yelling at the jugglers who were only tossing three balls, going, hey, you're getting paid for four balls. What the hell is this? Come on, let's go.
Yeah, I was getting put through glass and taken out of boxes and cut in half. Yeah, it was an interesting time. Yes.
It is.
So I understand. I understand all this.
It's great. It's so much fun. I wanted to take our kids to Monday Night Magic. I hate to give somebody else a plug. I don't know if you know them in New York. But anyway, so... Yeah, I used to do all kinds of writing like that and producing industrial shows. And I used to do a lot of, for all of my ad copy, I did a lot of different ad copy for RCA and NBC. I used to write for As the World Turns a little bit here and there. But my favorite ad copy story for the most money per word was I used to do, this is back in in the mid-70s. Book jacket covers for Random House, you know, the blurbs on the back of videotapes for Columbia. And when they did their merger with RCA and they did that Laserdisc thing, I must have written 500 of those things. That's why my kids complain about doing a book report. I'm like, what are you talking about? $75, 150 words, takes 45 minutes. Do it.
Bob?
Well. Oh, that's actually a great story. Oh, thank you, Howard. That is a great. All right. Well, you will like this story, and this is comedy related and writing related. So, my biggest client during those years really was RCA, which owned NBC at the time. When they were doing the big Laserdisc library, one of the jobs had to do with all the Monty Python materials. All right, so I was doing all of the copy, and I was working with the art department. We put together the the Laserdisc. When it was all done, the people were very happy with it. I think it was George Harrison's group or something. I can't remember the name.
Handmade films,
right. So anyway, when the project was done, the vice president at NBC there, I mean at RCA, wanted to take us all out to dinner, myself and the art director, who was a guy named A.C. Lehman, who, in fact, A.C. was the, do you remember the banana-shaped album cover for Velvet Underground? Are you guys old enough?
Yes.
Anybody here old enough to remember that?
Mm-hmm. I think I do remember that, yes.
Well, anyway, that was AC. That was his claim to fame. He had designed that. But anyway, so
Very cool. We are.
We're all dressed up, and we're going to the Rainbow Room, up at Rockefeller Center there.
Yeah.
And Terry Jones from Monty Python is joining us for dinner. So it's really, it's really like four or five of us there. We're all really excited, and we have a really great dinner, and it was a lot of fun. Now, at the end of the dinner, comes time for the check. Naturally, this vice president wants to pick up the tab. And Terry Jones is saying, oh, no, I've got it. He's making like he has. And he's making a big fuss. And the vice president thinks he's just joking around, and he goes to give the waiter a credit card. Terry Jones, in the Rainbow Room, in Rockefeller Center, goes diving across the table, knocking china and plates everywhere, until you can hear the last thing rattle. People are standing up in their chairs. And the waiter just gingerly takes the credit card out of his hand, and Terry Jones says, don't forget the damages, right? And he sits back down, dusts himself off, and we're all just like with our mouths open, staring at him. He says, oh, because we're all on sabbatical. We've stolen each other's credit cards, seeing who can run up the biggest tab.
And that was John Cleese's card or somebody, Michael Palin's card.
Yeah, right. He goes, don't worry about it. It's Palin's card.
Well, anyway,
oh my gosh.
To be short here, Bob, but we do have Russ, who's waiting to get on the show.
Okay,
so
thanks very much. I know
to
I talked
too
much.
Both of you, Pam, and also to Bob, it was a pleasure having you on, and
all
we're
right,
really
well,
looking forward to your
you
next
for
production.
Us. Thanks for being
thank
with
you so
us,
much
Bob
for being
Pam.
On here.
Thank you.
And also,
thank you.
Yes.
Bye.
Thank you, Greg.
Bye.
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 And before we get Russ on here, I just want to mention that tonight's show is also brought to you in part by Frederick Martin Del Campo, who's the official interpreter for our Books of Excellence group. And Fred has translated books for several of our authors, which reaches a whole new market of 40 million Spanish-speaking people in the United States. And if you want to consider having your book appear in a whole new language and setting, as far as going to a different market, this is the man to go to, Fred Martin Del Campo. And if you're interested in having your books translated, just let me know. And so now, without further ado, we're going to be inviting on Russ. Hold on one moment. And Russ, welcome to our show, Books of Excellence.
Hey, Ray, how you doing?
Hi, Russ.
Good. I'm Bonnie, and Debbie's with us.
And I'm Debbie.
Wanted to mention to everybody once again, where you need to go is to YouTube and then type in the meeting webisode, WEBISODE. And there will be two different episodes, part one and part two. And if you want to have a laugh, get your family around, send it to your friends, put it on your Facebook page, share this webisode, the meeting. And now Russ will be introducing you. Welcome to our show, Russ.
Well, I'm glad to be here. Thank you for having me.
Well, we're thrilled that you're here. So Debbie's going to go on. Go ahead, Deb.
Thank you. Hi, Russ.
Hi. How you doing?
Very good. I love your webisodes. Let me just say that again. I've been saying it from the beginning. I love your webisodes. In fact, I've watched them more than once because every time I watch them, I miss something from before, which the continuity is so fabulous. I'm an actress as well, and as an actress, I'm always looking for holes. I haven't found one yet. This is a really well-directed, filmed, edited, everything is perfect. I really hope people go on YouTube and view it because they're going to get a laugh. It's hysterical. I feel like I'm invested with these people now. Like, I know them all. And I look forward to the next webisode. I really do. It's fabulous. But here's a question.
Go ahead.
I'll be your promoter. Here's a question, because nobody wanted to answer this. Bob and Pam and Howard didn't want to answer this. They wanted you to answer it. What is the symbolism with Peterson?
I knew you were going to ask that. Well, you know what it is? I did a short film in 2005, and the writer, he he put in the name Peterson, and everybody
okay.
kept saying Peterson this, Peterson that, but we never seen this Peterson character, you know? So it became kind of like an in-joke. In every production I've done, I just said, you know, I'll just put in a Peterson. So, like, when I did the feature film PJ with Howard,
yeah.
We put in a Dr. Peterson. In fact, you have John Hurd, you know, the main character in that film. He
right.
says, get Dr. Peterson. So that's an in-joke there. And now a lot of people won't get it, but, you know, for me, it's
well, now-
just, you know, I find it kind of funny. So Chasing the Green, we had a reporter, Ted Peterson. So in this one, I said, okay, Peterson Hall.
Yeah. Yes, I love the opening with the picture of the building and the sign that's out front. And they answered my question, like, why Ohio? Why are you in Ohio doing – I know you're not in Ohio doing this filming, but why would you pick that to be from the in the beginning? But I understand.
Well, you got to ask Howard that. But you see, I took that joke, and in the end credits, if you, like, really scrutinize it, you will see that we filmed in New York, not Ohio.
Yes. Yes, exactly. But it was perfect, though. It just lends to itself. It really does. And I love the your inside shots that you have with the room that everybody's in. And I love the and the sign that you have on the door, you know, that there are the meetings in here. Very
yep.
interesting.
Yeah.
And your hallway shots. You always seem to end up in the hallway. Is
yeah,
there
the
any
hallway.
Symbolism in a hallway? Like, why would you pick the hallway? Because I know it's the end. And I had asked this. I said, you end the webisode, you have your credits, and then you start it again. And usually have a scene with Kim and the homeless guy or Kim and the porn star. So
well,
I wanted to, what's the hallway symbolism?
The symbolism
Nothing.
Is right next door. It was right next door
oh,
to where we're shooting.
Okay.
So we just
right.
opened the door and voila, there's the hallway. I'm like, okay, let's shoot it. That's the symbolism right there.
Thinking behind.
Actually,
funny.
They wanted to get rid of us and they locked up the doors. They were locking
yeah.
up rooms.
They
and they go, we'll
out.
Show them. We'll show them. We'll lock up the rooms. Then they can't do their little movie anymore. But we show them. Yeah.
No, but honestly, I was thinking about using the hallway because it was in the script. You know, the script called
right.
for a hallway scene. I'm like, okay, Howard, let's just shoot right here. You know, and we made use of the trash can. That was actually a last minute
I know.
Thing. I was like
yeah.
looking at the shot, going, oh, there's a trash can there. Okay, the homeless man, come on, he's digging in it. And if you look
yeah.
in Webisode 2, he kicks it. Says, I
he
don't
does.
Need you anymore.
Right, exactly.
Like
now he's the guy that collects the ticket. Right, he's the guy that collects
exactly.
the tickets, though. Right,
exactly.
in the beginning,
exactly.
and he promises
yeah.
everyone a DVD.
Yeah.
They all want the
he's
DVD at the end.
Yeah.
Oh my God, he's so bad. But everybody kind of looks. He gets up because she said, "Who promises? Who promises a free DVD? Who did it? Who did it?" Bam! He goes out the door. Now everybody's sitting there. They all do one of those. You know, they all look the same time in the same
yeah.
direction, and then they all and then the camera zooms in on the chair with the tickets
yeah.
and the ticket thingy.
Yeah.
But it's funny. The timing is so fabulous in this. It really is.
Oh, we were. I was very meticulous about that shot. I wanted exactly what you saw. So I'm like, okay, everybody, look at the door. Okay, look at the chair. And so everybody's timing, and we did, you know, several takes, you know, and then
yeah.
I used the best take that I thought, and I put it into the edit. And I thought it worked really well, especially
yeah.
Our DP, our director of photography, Kate McCammy. She's, like,
yeah.
really good with these zoom-in, zoom-out shots. I'm like, okay, Kate, zoom in on the chair. Zoom out. And she does it like that. It's, like, amazing,
right.
I tell you.
Right.
Yeah.
And I feel like it was, like, as if I was watching it, as if the camera was – I was the camera. Because I'm thinking,
yeah.
you know, how's he going to do this now? He's got to show this. This is funny. Because the guy gets up and he walks out. I mean,
yeah.
and you kind of made him a little bit different in the second webisode. I mean, he has a suit on. He's not covered
yeah.
in schmutz. And,
well, you got a job. You got a job. He's a
he got a job, right. Yeah, but he was in finance before. The funniest thing is that when he comes in, he says, we're about home. Howard introduces him for homeless. We, you know, we would talk about homeless people, and they're all disgusted because, one, he smells. You know, now he's
yeah.
pulling stuff out of when he's doing the dumpster dive and he pulls out whatever. What was it that he pulled out? The cork, right? He pulled the cork out and he throws
yeah, he
it.
He pulled the cork out and he throws
right.
it and then they just
and they all jump.
Yeah, it's
they all jump. Right. But here's the see, I guess
reason.
He's trying. But here's the thing. I would have, with that particular scene when he throws it and everybody jumps
yeah.
on it, then he could have. Yep, that was dumpster diving at its best right there.
Yeah.
You know, because
yeah.
they all jump for it. Yeah. And that woman, the woman that, now she finally has a name, doesn't she, in the second episode?
Oh, she's
it's funny how you don't have names.
She's Prudence. Yeah,
Prudence,
you know,
right, yeah.
You know, actually, we were, like, discussing whether her name should be, and I was like, we were like, okay, should it be Beatrice, should it be Patricia, and then we came up with Prudence. I'm like, Prudence is such a great name. But in the first one, she's definitely the Cork Lady.
Yeah, she's formerly the Cork Lady. Right,
yeah.
Exactly. It's funny. And then the guy that claps, you finally gave him a name. That is such perfect timing because, you know, the way Howard announces it, you want to clap. I said, oh, that, why isn't anybody else clap? I would have clapped because
yeah.
He's excited to be there. But the second episode, he catches himself, and he finally
oh, he
gets identified.
Yeah.
Funny.
Third episode,
now his name is
third
Gus.
Third episode, we're going to have crickets.
Oh, he's my God, yeah. Absolutely. And then, of course, the woman that's knitting. I said, with Bob and Pam, what is she knitting? The American flag? What is she going to end up knitting? Now I want to know. Because she just sits there and she looks so disgusted.
we're going to save that for the third episode, but we just want to let the little, spoiler alert. She doesn't own a cell phone, so everyone else is on their cell phone. So this character doesn't own a cell phone, so she knits. We might do some pipes, next week where she's going to actually knit with rope and huge pipes.
I just wanted to ask you a question also, Russ, if you don't mind. How much character development went into this? I mean, because, Debbie's so impressed by all these characters, and she's really studied them at length now. And she feels like she's part of the meeting.
I am a part of the meeting now. I want to sit in the back row. I want to sit next to the guy. Well, who did I like back in there? In the last row, you have a couple guys sitting back there. They don't do much. They just sit there and kind of, have facial expressions.
Right, but
I'm just wondering
how much character development did go into that. I mean, did you really spend a lot of time developing each character, or it was kind of like an ad hoc, ad lib kind of deal?
Well, look, a lot of the characters, they were in the pilot that
mm-hmm.
I mentioned, back in 2004. So mm-hmm. their characters were already there. And what I did is I watched that pilot, and I accentuated it on there. And then I took the script that, Howard and Bob Portler, Pamela, they all wrote, and then I'm like, okay, so what about having this person with a cell phone, Prudence, she's, completely into the cell phone, taking a photo of Angela,
Oh, my God, she won't stop taking it. Right. She won't stop taking pictures.
She's absent-minded, and then same thing as, it was like a running gag from her Cork thing, She's, sniffing herself, not realizing that, oh, my gosh, people are looking at me. So she does that in Webisode 2 also. So that's, for me, that was the character development. It's just taking these running gags for each of these
mm-hmm.
characters, and just building on it,
Right.
Now, you mentioned that, people in the back row. Funny. If you notice, episode one, there were, was it 10 people, 12 people
yeah.
in the audience?
Yeah.
Episode two was doubled. There were, 25 people.
You had more people, right.
Unfortunately, we couldn't really give them much to do, And so some people back there, I would love to use them for episode three, to be honest with you, and give them some more of a role. So.
Well, the two guys in the back, when they said about, who said, when she goes, when the porn star goes, who said you get free? Who said you get free DVDs? Who said this? They hold up the tickets. The two guys said it together.
Yeah.
The timing is just, the rhythm of these webisodes is perfect. It's perfect.
It took several takes to do that, by the way.
Oh, you would never know it, honestly. It's perfect. You would never know it. I know it takes several takes, right. It's like, to nauseam, you have to keep doing it.
Yeah,
with the same energy
do.
And that same.
I take several takes, yeah. Once I saw the take that I wanted, I'm okay, we're done. Let's move on.
Perfect.
And that's how I work as a director. So, the zoom in on the chair, it had to be timed so perfectly. And Howard, if you remember, I just kept going on and on and on. I'm like, okay, now we can move on. And people are like, oh, finally he's moving on to the next
take. And I want to comment on the characters, taking the scenario as Russ pointed out, but then allowing each individual actor to put their imprint on that, on the way that it can be done. And from that, comes the character. And as I pointed out before, we are also, by virtue of continuing the webisodes, going to find an even greater voice because it's going to become even more, honed and more, cultivated.
Mm-hmm.
And, of
mm-hmm.
course, which means expanding the parts of, of people who didn't speak at the last webisode but, are here now for the next one. And it's almost our mission, and Russ and I have discussed it. that we're going to enlarge the parts of those people, you know, who we've seen just a little bit of. And some of the ones you know already will take a step back, like any TV series, and then the other is going to be about them. And
you know, Howard, I wanted to ask you this question. Are these players that have been in both webisodes, are they committed to moving on with this as a group, or some leaving, some more coming in?
Well, I have my own, you know, thoughts about, you know, who we're certain are going to be there for the next one, and maybe this one may not. And I'm not terribly worried about it, because that's the beauty of it, as I pointed out to Debbie, that like any class, people drop out, people come back, and I'm not terribly concerned. I do know our core people, like, you know, Kim and like Nikki, how did you get your start? They're not going anywhere, and you know, we'll have armed guards escort them to the, you know, to the set. But for everybody else, there's never a shortage of people who would love to be on the show and develop the character. And it's like any class that we've taken, we've seen the same people there from last week. We've seen them drop out. Now there's a new person sitting there, and so that's you know, it's kind of like giving Batman a mask. You know, if his price gets too high, you just get someone else to put a mask on him. Nobody's going to know, you know, because most of the film is just somebody in a mask.
Right.
It's the same, it gives you that same opportunity to keep, you know, bringing in fresh characters if you have to.
Right.
So, well, we have Diane sitting and waiting on the phone, so.
Oh, cool.
I think, Russ, we're going to have to say goodbye to you.
Hey, Russ, I know you got to run anyway, but, you know.
Yep.
Well, thank you
run.
So much for joining us.
Thank you, Russ. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much. Bye.
All right. Okay, take care. And we're going to bring Diane on. Hold on just one moment. Okay, Diane, are you with us?
Hi, yeah, I'm here.
Hi,
oh,
welcome to
God,
our show. I'm Bonnie,
well.
and Debbie's here also, and of course, Howard.
Hi, Diane.
Hi, how are you guys?
We're doing good.
Well. We're doing good. We're having fun.
Well,
we're having fun and we're laughing.
This.
Yes, it must be. Hysterical,
it was
really.
So much fun. I had to hold myself back. I had to be serious in a stupid way.
Well, you did a great job with it. You did a fabulous job. I loved your character. I really did. And
thank
I just
you.
Want to reiterate. I just want to reiterate again. I love the webisodes. I encourage everyone to go on YouTube and to view them. They're going to get a laugh. It's so good. The timing, the cohesiveness, the continuity. And, you know, I'm an actress myself, and I always look for holes, and I didn't see any holes. I'm really impressed with the group. Really
and
good.
Again,
they're
you
tight.
Didn't mention it,
we're tight.
You're tight. You're absolutely
webisode.
Tight. Yeah.
The
Say
meeting
that again.
Webisode on YouTube. The meeting webisode on YouTube.
Right.
You, must write
you just can't go to the meeting. If you do the meeting webisode, you'll get it.
Or else you'll get Superman versus the Hulk, a.k.a.
Right,
the
that's
meeting.
Why we're now promoting
we don't want you to watch
meeting
that.
Webisodes. Right.
Yes.
Right.
We don't want you to watch the other thing. It's not.
It's
not.
No. Otherwise,
right,
you won't
see
a porn star.
No, a porn star. Oh, my God. Loved the outfit that you wore. Loved it. Was it hard
love,
to pick out?
Love. I had to go through my closet and check out some porn wear, you know. It just took me a little bit. I have a little section. No, just kidding.
Well, I will tell you this, Diane, that Debbie does a lot of theater, and it seems that she's always typecast, right, Deb? In these roles as, like,
exactly.
four kinds of, in every place she's
like,
in.
Yeah, you know, with the last one, I do murder mysteries in Philadelphia and, like, Jersey and Delaware, and so the last role I had was What a Pair. Not that I'm big, believe me.
Oh,
but I'm usually getting
too.
Casted.
Join the club.
Oh,
thank
my
you.
God.
So you're among the many girls, yes.
Yeah,
I have
I'm
the
either
same
that,
problem.
Or I'm nuts. They make me play crazy people. Doesn't matter. No, I'm
good
at crazy,
no,
so I don't
usually
mind
get,
it.
I, you know what? I get typecast. I get typecast, and I'm so the opposite in real life. It's crazy.
Right,
I mean,
exactly.
I'm either a cannoli girl holding the platter with the cannolis, and they're looking at my boobs, or I'm playing some form of stripper, which I don't strip, and I don't do anything close to it. But now I'm playing a porn star. But you know, Howard, you know, reassured me. I said I'm not sure if I want to do this because you know, people might think I really am a porn star. So he said, no, this is a spoof, it's a comedy. I said, oh, okay, cool. Comedies, I love. So as long as it was a comedy, as long as, you know, he put down in the credits, a nice girl from Brooklyn, I was cool.
Perfect.
I was cool with that, yeah.
Yep, you played her really well. You did. I love when you come in and they slow the camera down.
They have the seductive music behind you, and then they go to the audience
as they're watching you come in and look at their faces.
Facial expressions
funny.
On the rest of the crew is just priceless. It really is. That's
but
the thing. It's like noticing the people in the background and their facial expressions. They are so perfect. It adds so much comedy. It really does.
It does, and then you can feed off of that, you know? And it just, and you guys are so tight. You really are really tight. I said in the beginning of this interview, I said, it seems as if everyone has known each other, but they still maintain, they still stay within their, whatever their character is and portray it or project it the way they need to.
It's
really good. The rhythm is really good. I love the rhythm of the...
And there's so much more to each character that can come out, you know, per each webisode that comes out. It's just really, it's endless. It's an endless opportunity. It really is.
I like the confusing Latino, the woman that walks in, and then they get Jose to get up and talk to her. My gosh, that was hysterical.
I know.
Yeah.
And Howard's face the whole time is like... You want to say, you want to have, like, you know, a title under Howard. Why am I here?
Exactly.
How did I get here? How did I get here?
That was my motivation. That was my main motivation. And the actress who came in, our Latina actress, stopped in the middle of the scene and said, shouldn't he be speaking Spanish? I go, you don't understand.
And here, Mom.
That's part of humor.
This is our comedy. And, of course, she got with it right away. She was marvelous. She was wonderful.
Oh, very funny.
Yeah, and it's not
funny.
Even like he just, like, grabbed, like, a group of people and said, you want to be in this. They're all Screen Actors Guild. Everyone is, like, professional. You know, they were all on cue. They were all really amazing.
Yes. Oh, yeah. They fabulous cast. Really a fabulous cast. I look forward to each of their characters being developed more. I feel like I've invested. I'm invested now, you know? I'm invested in this.
Oh, it was so much fun doing the makeup. I went heavy on the lips, on the liner. I didn't have to blend. It was so fun. It really was.
You heard that you're a cosmetologist.
Wore it out.
You did a fabulous job on that. And that you're a cosmetologist by trade, right?
Well, I wear many hats, but that's one of them. Yeah, I'm a
Good
cosmetologist. So yeah, so I could do my own makeup, and it worked out. It really
did.
It worked out.
It had something to do with cosmos. I thought you were like an astrologer or something, astronomer, excuse me.
It's a cosmetologist, not an astrologist, Howard.
Who knew?
Astrologist.
Oh, astronomy. Astronomist. Or something like that, yeah.
Right.
Sorry, I stand corrected. But, you know, it was... But, yeah, we had makeup people there, but Diane did her own. She looked great. Especially
very good. Perfect.
Really outstanding.
Yeah, there was a little improv going on, but mostly stuck to the script. But I couldn't help myself in certain areas. It was just, you know, you just go off and you get into that mode.
You do. You get into the character.
Yeah, you get into the mode. I was like,
good for you.
Worn it out.
Right. No, and then Jose asked you if you could say it in Spanish.
I know. Isn't that funny? I know. It was really cute.
It's funny the way you said it, though, with your Spanish accent. That was great.
Well, I tried to imitate his Spanish accent.
I'm sorry, say that
and
again.
By the way, I do want to mention that was Starley Caldwell, who played the confused Latina. Starley Caldwell. She came in maybe, I think, 2 weeks before showtime, and she was awesome. She was awesome.
Very good. It's so funny. I also
love the way the producers, I don't know who was in charge of this, Howard, maybe you can tell me, but the credits go up and then there's a short piece at the end. I don't know. Yeah, that short piece, I did it with Robert Harrington, who plays Kim. He's fabulous. So the producers wanted me to say this one punchline at the end, and I was like, so feeling hesitant, I didn't want to do it. And so we did the punchline two different ways. However, the producers are men, so they kept it
yeah.
with the way they wanted it, and it went off. It went off without a hitch. Really, like a really crazy punchline that I said. I said it.
I had it played a couple times because you said it low, and my speakers on my computer wasn't picking it up, and then I finally heard it. But it was quite funny.
I said it. I can't believe I said it.
You said it. Yes, you did.
I did it.
Well, you know what?
I went ahead and did it.
It was an appropriate last line for you to do. It brought it all together.
Yeah, and then he just stands there like dumbfounded. It's so funny.
Yes. Yes. It is funny. He played off of
it. Yeah, he did. He's really funny. He really is.
I can't imagine doing it. You must have just kept laughing the entire time you guys were filming it. It must have been a wonderful experience.
It was trying to keep a straight face, you know, because a lot of it is, dry humor. So, like, you had to play the straight man.
Right. Yes.
You know? You have to play the straight man.
Oh, gosh, it was funny. And then when the woman kept taking your picture with her cell phone over and over.
Oh, my gosh, like, she's bowing. I don't know if she got that. She was bowing to me.
I said, oh, my God. And then she gave you a piece of paper. And what was on the paper? Because then you kept it, right?
Scratch and sniff.
Wait a minute.
Oh, my
God.
For
heaven's
sake.
Spoiler alert.
Thanks for giving it away, but they still have to go watch it to really see the whole
thing. Yeah, they have to understand the sequence of events here. They have to watch it. Then they'll understand what we're saying.
But just giving them little snippets, Howa.
Yeah, come on now.
Come on, a little tease. That's what porn starism is about. Little teases.
That's funny. Very, very funny. No, but I really enjoy it. I do. I so look forward to the next webisode. I can't wait to see what you have planned, Howard.
Thank you. We've got a couple of work. And I'll tell you before we close up, maybe I'll see two of them.
Stand over here. There you go.
Yes, sure. But we're definitely having Angela come in for a return appearance. Because we got to keep that porn star tag, you know, on the webisode.
Oh my God, help me!
Me too.
Without our
I'm gonna have the scarlet letter forever.
Yeah, isn't it?
Diane, we're gonna say goodbye to you because our time is running out. But we really look forward
nice
to watching you in the next episode.
Oh, same here, Diane. Thank you.
We know you're running.
Thank you.
Maybe we can all come and go and have lunch in New York one day.
I got it right.
Oh,
with
I love
you.
That.
I'll see you.
Thank you.
All right,
Diane.
Take care.
Honey.
Thanks so much, Diane.
Bye.
Bye-bye. So, Howard, in wrapping up the show, you know, I just want to mention to people again that they need to go to YouTube and type in the meeting webisodes, and you'll see both of them come up. And can you say a little bit about what a webisode is?
Well, as you know, in television, they call, you know, episodic television, they refer to each one as an episode. In the World Wide Web, they refer to them now, you know, as webisodes. The catch-all for each individual program is called a webisode, or web series is the entire project. And it's wonderful because, you know, it's the same pressure and the same development, the same growth that you would have in television, just not as much money.
Right. Well, I think it's wonderful that you're doing this and that people have the opportunity to watch comedy at its best. And while it's in its development, as you mentioned, you know, this is the beginning of a long series of different comedy acts. And, you know, we will notify our listeners and also our readers and our book co-op members every time a new one comes out. You know, I'll certainly send out a blast on that. And maybe you would be willing to come back another time, you know, for the next time when your next episode's coming out so we can talk about it.
For sure.
That was great.
Yes. I'll bring in some of the crew.
That would be wonderful.
I'm going to get in bed, too.
Yeah, we'll plan to do that again during the summer, and hopefully, you know, like I say, as things are moving along with the next one. In closing, I just want to thank Howard so much and Debbie Bello for being my very, very special guest tonight.
Thanks for having me.
Yes, you're so welcome, Debbie, because, like I say, you always make every show, no matter where you're doing it. And also a special, you know, sending out love to my friend Craig for hooking all of this up. And just sending out love to Craig in general, because I do love Craig. And like I said, I'm so happy that we were able to have all of your guests on here tonight, your, you know, staff and actors. They were just wonderful.
Fabulous.
So, Howard, thank you so much. And, Debbie, thank you so much. And we'll be back here next week again with Books of Excellence. Everybody have a wonderful week, and take care.
Thanks,
bye-bye.
Mom. See you, Howard. Bye-bye.
Bye, Howard. Bye, Deb. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.